T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Reflecting pretty much since I came home here in Sweden, and especially now that we couldn't make the 24 best in the league. So it's tough. It's tough to be here in Sweden when all my Swedish buddies are going back and playing, and I'm staying here home back in Sweden and not playing. So it pisses me off a little bit, actually, to not play now.
Rasmus Dahlin, one of the players who did a Zoom call yesterday. Those will continue today. Again, as Brayton mentioned, excuse me, if you missed any of the calls from yesterday, including Jason Bottrell, and more players going today, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart in the group. If you miss any of those, check out on-demand audio at WGR550.com. You can listen back to all of those. Our on-demand audio brought to you by Northwest, increasing the value of you. So we're getting your thoughts on the GM being back, if you want to chime in on that, and Bottrell's comments yesterday and talking about why fans should believe and all the other fun stuff involving the Sabres. 803-0550 if you want to grab a line on that. 888-550-2550. And you can share your thoughts on that. We'll also get some football stuff this segment, too. Have a little Bills discussion coming up in a moment. Marty Baron will talk more hockey with us at the bottom of the hour.
Yesterday, also, we mentioned that the NHL had its big announcement about its format. And man, they did not need to have a press conference. They don't know anything about their format. Yeah. They also don't know if it's best of five or best of seven or best of three.
Right. Seeds, brackets, round length.
The number of things they don't know is longer than the things they do know.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too. I guess they pointed out, and I suppose this isn't really a surprise, I think it was Don Fehr, who is the head of the players' union. Everybody did a Q&A, right? Bettman was available. I think Fehr was available on a call. Bill Daly, who's like the number two guy in the NHL, he was available. But they have yet to actually figure out the protocols for Phase 3 and Phase 4. And those are significant steps. Phase 3 is training camp. And then Phase 4 is actual games being played. So there's still a significant... there are still significant steps. It's one thing to come out with the format, and as you mentioned, there are still unanswered questions about that. They also still have to sit down with the players and, you know, with the concerns they're going to have about health and safety and tests. Are families allowed to come and hang out with the players? It looks like the NBA is working on some kind of plan to allow families to go to Orlando if they want to be with the players should their season resume in the NBA. They haven't figured out any of the protocols, which have to be agreed upon with the union to figure out what to do whenever you get to Phase 3 and what you're going to do when you show up in the hub city and actually start playing the games. So that's pretty big steps they got to still deal with.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck to them, I guess. Yeah. I guess we wait for, what, a couple weeks from now we get the next version of the press conference?
Yeah, I assume they've got to get into Phase 2, which could, if it's on schedule, happen next week. They said early June, so I'm going to guess next week. But that's just small groups. You know, we still have to get to the point where everybody come back, where the league actually says, like, even the Phase 2 is voluntary. Nobody has to come back. As the facilities open up, you don't have to come back for Phase 2. It's when they say, everybody come back, camps are going to begin. I think that's when we, you know, really start trying to figure out exactly how they're going to make this work. And at that point, maybe have a better idea of when will actual games be played. And I think we're still, you know, over a month away from that, I believe.
Yeah. So we're still doing virtual NFL offseason right now, right? A lot of teams are doing that.
Yeah, right? I think, right? They would normally still be in OTAs, I believe. Yeah. And then mini camps, if there are mini camps, they usually happen in June. So yeah, still virtual. That's another thing too. You know, there was a report that coaches might be allowed back in the facilities next week. Some teams' facilities have opened up based on their state regulations, but it's just like it's staff. It's not coaches. It's not players. Players who I guess are rehabbing are allowed back in. But maybe coaches come in next week, and if all goes according to plan, and it's negotiated with the NFL players, by the way, perhaps we'll see, you know, mini camps sometime in June. I'm not sure how they pull that off with distancing, but that remains to be seen. Yes, they're still in virtual camps. So I mentioned to Jeremy in the break, in my travels around the internet yesterday, I stumbled across a column from Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com. He's the Bills reporter for them. We've had Matt on the show. Great guy. He had seven burning questions about the 2020 Bills ahead of the upcoming season. So, Mr. White, I will bring up these seven questions, and we can opine.
How many questions could you come up with?
Like
how many burning questions?
Oh, okay. Well, burning questions are different than questions, I guess. Because my burning question might not be what you think is a burning question. You know, like the kicker competition.
Yeah.
I was kidding. That wouldn't necessarily be a burning question for me, but it is a question. Burning questions.
I mean, the obvious one is Josh Allen.
Two burning questions.
Yeah, does Josh Allen take a step forward?
Will they win the AFC East, and does Josh Allen take a step forward? That's it. Those are my burning questions. It's a very short list. It would be a really small article.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't use the AFC East one, but that just might be a different idea of what a burning question is. I'd like seven questions that determine what kind of year they have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's does Allen take a step forward?
I mean, I honestly,
it might be a one burning question.
That's what I'm saying. After that, everything
do they stay healthy?
But everything on offense will circle back to one question.
Yeah.
You know, everything on offense, I think, like, I mean, you can talk about, there are questions. Again, questions versus burning questions. Is Cody Ford going to be the full-time right tackle? You know, how's the offensive line going to look? What's the running back, you know, what's the running game going to look like with now Singletary and Moss? I mean, there are, you know, the top three receivers. There are questions, but a lot of it will always circle around back to how does Josh Allen do?
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting when Eric Moles was on with us yesterday, I was interested to hear what he had to say about Diggs coming in, and he's going to want the ball, and John Brown's going to want the ball, and how's Josh Allen? He's got all these great toys. How's he going to handle that? How's he going to get the ball to everybody and all that stuff? Everything on offense, I think, ultimately circles back to what does Josh Allen do? Does he take a step forward? How many more points per game can they score? Well, if you're going to ask about how much more can they do, guess what? It circles back to Josh Allen. And I'm not a burning question on defense. Does Josh Norman win the other cornerback spot?
It's funny. That was the next one I was going to get to, is the other Josh question was, is Josh Norman a contributor for them?
And that was one of the questions Matt had. But I think,
because
that's really the one spot on defense, with the glaring opening in terms of a starting spot on defense, a main contributor. You know, everything else is fairly settled. We'll see about the rotation at defensive end with Trent Murphy and maybe Epinesa, whatever. You know, A.J. Klein, Lorenzo retiring, A.J. Klein coming in, but that's not a position where that guy's on the field for 100% of the snaps or 90% of the snaps. So really, I think on defense, everybody else is back. It's who's the other cornerback opposite of Trey White? And then, I mean, okay, there will be a kicker competition. Who knows what's going to happen with that? But burning questions, it's probably just Josh Allen. The whole thing comes down to Josh Allen.
Yeah. I saw McDermott is, for Coach of the Year, the odds on Coach of the Year, he's 12-1 or 18-1? I've got an email here that said.
I'm not at liberty to say that's embedded or forget it.
But he's on the level with Belichick. The two of them are tied for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, it depends on – there's various – you know, everybody's got odds, different websites. But I have it in front of me,
should be pretty close. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's how it generally works.
Where we got here? I have him – this is from sportsbetting.ag, and they list him at 18-1. He's actually in a group tied for fifth.
With Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember looking at the guys that he was tied with and just kind of, you know, seeing who would fall in there. I mean, it's tough – if you win the Super Bowl, it feels like it's tough to win Coach of the Year the next year, because Coach of the Year is so often about, you know, exceeding expectations.
Right.
If the Bills win the AFC East, that's not going to be exceeding expectations too much, but it would be such a rare event that you wonder if, you know, if McDermott would get the nod for that.
Yeah, I think it's funny to look at the group he's in, Jeremy. So the 18-1 group is McDermott, Andy Reid, who just won the Super Bowl, Kevin Stefanski, who is a rookie head coach, and Cliff Kingsbury. It's an interesting group that Reid is in with those guys. Like, yeah, if he wins a second straight Super Bowl, he goes into rarefied air. You know, he joins a very short list of candidates, and it's kind of I don't know how you put Reid in with the same group as Kevin Stefanski. Like, if the Browns are in the playoffs, Stefanski gets him in there, I think he would get a number of votes for Coach of the Year. I'm not sure how. I think Reid's odds, I don't know. That's just, I'm not sure. I'm not really phrasing this well. I just think it's odd to put him and a rookie head coach at the exact same odds. I think Stefanski would be a more significant accomplishment, but whatever. What do I know?
Well, it might be a more significant accomplishment.
With that franchise, I mean, you know.
Making the playoffs, but, you know, Reed's not going to get it for the same accomplishment. Reid would get it for winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. He wins Coach of the Year if they win the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
No, I think he'd have to win it again. I don't think it's just to even get to the Super Bowl again, because they just went to the AFC Championship and then won the Super Bowl. I think Reid gets it if he wins back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, or they get 17, you know, they go 17-1 or whatever, something crazy like that.
Unbeaten regular season, maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that for them, though.
Yeah.
But McDermott, yeah, if they win the division, boy.
Bills
win division, Browns win division, who wins the Coach of the Year? My guess is it's the Browns guy, because they'd be coming from farther away.
Yeah.
It almost always, who won the Coach of the Year this year?
Does McDermott get less votes because Brady's not in the division? So people look at it and go, well, nice job, Sean. Don't get us wrong. But you did win the division after Tom Brady left New England.
The answer to that is yes, but that's by Belichick getting more votes, because if they're good, he wins, period.
Yeah, they have to make the playoffs for him to win? They do, right? And they can't be 9-7, miss the playoffs, and people go, well, he still had a winning record, your Coach of the Year. They've got to make the playoffs for him to win.
John Harbaugh was the Coach of the Year at 14-2 with Lamar Jackson in his first year as the full-time starter. You know, it's funny, like, when you see Coach of the Year, you do see a lot of guy that overachieved. Matt Nagy got it in 2018 with the Bears, who were 12-4 with Mitch Trubisky. And then 1 year later, everything's different for those Bears, you know?
Right.
Sean McVay, Jason Garrett's on here, Ron Rivera twice in 3 years, Bruce Arians twice in 3 years, and with two different franchises. Belichick's won it three times. That's 16-0 season.
It's not a lot, considering they've been to 8 Super Bowls or whatever the number is.
When they win 14 games, he wins Coach of the Year. It looks like a number that'll get you there. Ron Rivera got it when the Panthers were 15-1. You get to 14, you're going to win that thing.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. You mentioned Matt Nagy, and I was wondering, could you win Coach of the Year, then miss the playoffs if they get back in the playoffs somehow? And I would not expect that. He's a serious candidate for Coach of the Year because things went backwards for them last year. There were a couple of guys. I want to say Nate Burleson was one. I remember reading a piece at NFL.com sometime last week. And one of the things I think they were talking about was the Coach of the Year discussion, who the candidates would be. And it was Nate Burleson, and there was, Steve Smith, who also said things are set up for McDermott to win the award this year, with Brady leaving and people expecting New England to be down and the Bills seemingly trending up, and they get Stephon Diggs, add him into the equation, that it's set up very nicely for Sean McDermott to win Coach of the Year here. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
And then he gets his contract extension.
Just have a successful season.
Yeah. That will be a discussion, right? What is he, in year 4? They'll be having contract extension talks, I would assume, with Sean McDermott if they haven't done so already.
I bet they would.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you bet on him for Coach of the Year?
At 18-1? Yes. Yeah. I think that's really good value.
Yeah.
Really good value.
Who's
the favorite?
I think Belichick might have been a co-favorite. Yeah, it was Belichick and Bruce Arians at 12-1. And then I think Mike McCarthy, 14-1, not a fan of his, but Dallas, I think, should win that division. So in that case, that's a pretty solid bet. They're at 14-1. And then Frank Reich at 16-1, and then the group McDermott's in.
Yeah.
You know, Reich's, you know, with Houston trading Hopkins, maybe they take a step back, and you would think it's either Reich at 16-1. You know who's Vrabel at 22-1? It's a pretty good bet there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a really good chance of winning that division.
You don't want Doug Marrone at 50-1?
Is that what he's at?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
How about this? There are two other coaches at 50-1. And, you know, as we lay this out, don't look at the list. Are you looking at it? Did you see the
other two?
I already
saw it. Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'll set it up then because it's funny. You know, we're talking about your expectation. Your coach of the year odds are based pretty much on your expectation. And these three guys, the odds, I think, reflect that no one expects them to do well. Marrone, Gase, and Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, these guys, they're not about to, you know, shoot the moon here with what they do.
How about, again, there are different odds with different organizations. The list I'm looking at, again, is sportsbetting.ag. They have, you look at groups, right? And you mentioned those three guys. And then just ahead of them, Ron Rivera, right? Washington, they've been bad. Is it Haskins? Who knows what's happening at quarterback? Joe Judge is in there, you know, first-year coach taking over. John Gruden's in there at 40-1, you know, with Derek Carr, with some really good offensive weapons, and a really, you know, why are the Raiders in that group of, yeah, these teams have been really, really, really bad, top of the draft bad, and we're going to put, I thought that was kind of low for Gruden. He's behind Zach Taylor. And, you know, that's with a Cincinnati team that's rebuilding and probably starting a rookie quarterback. He's got worse odds than Matt Rhule in Carolina, Matt Patricia in Detroit. I thought that was, I'm not saying they're, you know what? Yeah, that's it. I'm putting a couple bucks on Gruden.
Gruden.
40-1? I mean, if he has a, yeah, whatever. I'm putting some money on Gruden. That's my long shot bet.
All right.
Because there are guys that I think have worse teams than the Raiders. And they have better odds than him. So there you go. If you're looking for some serious, you know, we always like talking about long shots for horse races. So in the group, there's no way Gase is winning. There's no way O'Brien is winning. Rivera, no. Judge, even if I thought the Jags were going to be good, out of principle, I can't put money on Doug Marrone. So yeah, my long shot would be John Gruden at 40-1. That's where my hard-earned money would go. All right, I'll still save that for bet it or forget it later, even though we kind of just talked about it a little bit.
Do you want a fun fact about just a fun Star Wars fact before we get to Marty?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm just organizing bet it or forget it. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So Frank Pallotta, he tweeted something a couple days ago at CNN that I thought was really kind of interesting. He tweeted a story about The Empire Strikes Back. Now, Star Wars has come up a lot in the last, I don't know, during the pandemic because maybe people are watching it again, maybe because it's always in the news. A lot of anniversaries, like right summer movie kind of stuff.
It's always on the Turner channels all the time, you know?
Yeah, the 21st was the 40th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back. So, he tweeted out a story about this that I thought was really interesting, which was in the I Am Your Father scene. Spoiler alert, sorry, right? So in the Luke, I Am Your Father scene.
Yeah. Luke, I Am Your Father.
Only two people knew what the line was there.
Yes. I did see this story.
Yes. So the script was different. And the script was that Obi-Wan Kenobi killed your father. And that's what the guy who was playing Darth Vader in the suit said.
Yeah.
He said that line. But later on, they would go back and redub it with James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So that nobody knew until the film actually showed.
Yeah.
Except for two people. Which is, like, if you think about that, that's my... The story goes that Frank tweeted was that Harrison Ford saw the scene at the debut and turned to Mark Hamill and said, "Hey, kid, you didn't tell me." But Mark Hamill said, "I didn't know either." You know?
They
think about keeping that kind of secret.
Yeah, there was a special. I just watched it a couple weeks ago about like a behind the scenes. I think I want to say like on Reels, one of the 8 million cable channels. They do these specials every now and then behind the scenes, and they interview the actors and the directors and all these people about, you know, movies that were made. And that specific story was told. And even like the guy whose like job it is to edit the film and all these production people, like everybody talked about how nobody knew and how could they possibly, with all those people involved in that movie, the actors, the behind the scenes, how could they kept that, how they were able to keep that secret is beyond anybody's imagination.
Yeah.
And I never knew that story. I thought that is a great job on their behalf of being able to keep that thing secret that long.
And what a twist, right? I mean,
oh my
it's
God,
a twist
what a
in the
surprise.
Movie. It's also a twist to find out that the original script would have, I wonder, the one thing this story doesn't necessarily say is whether or not this is, like, it was planned all along. Like, I'm going to keep every, it's George Lucas's plan, I'm going to keep everyone in the dark until the movie comes out.
Or he woke up one morning and said, you know what would be pretty cool? Let's make Darth Vader his father. You know, if we ever did the show of, like, you know, the greatest twist moments in movie history, I mean, I'm off the top of my head, I'd be hard-pressed to beat Luke, I'm your father. Like, that moment with those characters and Vader, and you talk about, like, bad guys and great villains and all this stuff, be hard-pressed. That's a great holy you-know-what moment.
Yeah. The only problem with this topic is that we would ruin movies for people.
Well, we have to put a time limit. Like, it has to be, the movies have to be at least, what, 5 years old, 1 year old, 10 years old?
Even then.
Still?
Even then. If you tell somebody a movie has a twist ending, it changes everything. Like, they're watching for a twist then.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think that
Well, you wouldn't appreciate the movie if you know it's coming. Yeah, it would ruin the whole movie.
Just even knowing, hey, there's a twist coming.
Yeah.
You know, you could say, I'm not going to spoil it for you. There's a twist, but I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh, you can't even say that.
Yeah, you just did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's one movie that came out recently in the last, how many years? Maybe like 2001, actually. It was kind of old. That I will not spoil by saying it has a twist ending, but it was spoiled for me, and it's got to be the biggest twist ending, and it's one of them.
You won't even say which movie?
I won't even say which movie.
Yeah, because it ruins, because everybody would know there's a twist ending.
I want to say that all of the texters that would text in and guess what movie I'm talking about will get it right. There's one movie with a twist, ending,
twist ending
that is changes the movie fundamentally.
Yeah.
And you all know what movie it is, I think.
I wouldn't
and if,
necessarily
And if
know,
you
probably.
Don't, the bad news is I can't recommend it to you because...
Okay, right? LaShawn or anti-LaShawn McCoy.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie? I can't.
Why don't you just tell me what movie you want to watch? Sorry, I was doing
I really just
want to
guess. Just...
Well, he can't. But he won't confirm it. Yeah, see, that's, you got to text us because now I'm curious. I won't bring it up on the air.
I guess I'm opening up my phone and texting in.
The last text that was just sent is right.
Hmm. Would I know the movie?
I don't know. You come on. The two of you have never seen any movies.
Oh, I've seen like two or three.
This is the tough part.
Come on.
This is the tough part. Like, you two might not have even seen this movie.
Hey, I did. I see a good two movies a year.
You did? Brayton, you see the texts?
Yes.
Okay, three texts in a row. That's the movie.
Huh. All right. Have
you think Howard has seen that?
No.
Were they serving peanut butter during the movie? Because if they were, then I probably wouldn't have even gone. All right, we'll get to Marty in a moment. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's talk Sabres hockey. Here's former Sabres goalie, Marty Baron. Marty Baron's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. By Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. And by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
I thought of another one.
The big twists?
Another really big twist ending movie that I can't tell you about.
You didn't text me the first one.
I'm not going to.
Why? I'm not going to say it. I'm curious.
You'll be watching the movie for a twist. What I'm going to have to do.
How do you know I'm going to watch the movie?
I just played a long game, and over the course of the next year.
Year?
I just got to bring up, like, oh, you know, it's a good movie you should see that you might like.
So, like, 3 weeks from now, you know I'll forget this conversation.
You might not forget this conversation, meaning that I'm going to have to recommend a lot of movies to you in the next calendar year so that you don't know which ones have the twists and which ones don't.
Yeah.
And then you can get – there are now two movies I've thought of – mixed in and then they'll hit you like the twist that you're not expecting because you can't expect it anymore.
Okay.
It's a hard way to recommend a movie, but I'm committed. Man. I'm committed to it.
Wow.
Mark the date. What's it? It's May. What else are we going to do? It's May 27th, 28th.
28th, I think.
Okay.
Alan tweeted in a good one, too. I can't tell you the movie, but he also tweeted. He just tweeted in a very big twist.
I don't want to. Don't. Yeah.
I'm not saying it.
I've never realized this discussion is important. It's important.
He didn't even tweet the title, but by explaining it, I know exact because I saw the movie. So, but I'm not going to text you. So there.
The texts are really funny. How can you bring this up and then say you're not?
And you're not going to tell me.
I'm never going to know the movie.
All right, we got to get to Marty. We'll skip the headlines because we're cutting into Baron time, and that's never a good idea. Marty, did you know that Darth Vader is Luke's father, or did we ruin that for you?
Well, no, I knew that Darth Vader was Luke's father, and then if you've never seen Star Wars but have watched the movie Pitch Perfect, then you know Darth Vader is Luke's father because she ruins it because she says Darth Vader in German means like father, so that's basically what it is.
I didn't know that. Okay, how you doing, Mr. Baron? Hey, we got a lot to get to. Let's start with the Sabres and the news that Jason Botchel will be back for a fourth season as GM. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that was to be expected. Listen, I know a lot of fans are asking for change and are asking for Jason Botchel's job, basically. But I do think that with the position that the Sabres are going to be in this summer, with a lot of players coming off, expiring contract, and the chance to really change the roster in a positive way, I think that is an opportunity that Botterill was waiting for and was hoping to have. So I think that Terry and Kim Pegula are looking at it and saying, we want to see what Jason Botterill can do with this opportunity. I know last summer he also had an opportunity to probably change the roster, which he did to a certain extent. But what drove me crazy last summer and pretty much everybody else is the fact that, Larson, Gergensen, those guys were both brought back. Like, there was an opportunity to say, okay, we can cut bait with some players that are restricted free agent, but I don't think Botterill at that moment felt comfortable to do that. Now they're UFAs, so it's simpler to just walk away from it. So I totally understand the frustration and the situation as to which the general manager himself put himself in. But I think this summer and until whenever the new season starts, if it's December or whatnot, I think there is an opportunity for him to really salvage, if we can say, what's happened the last 3 years and to make a difference in the future. And he's going to be given that opportunity. I think that's okay.
He took a few questions yesterday basically about how to make this team better. If you could tell Jason Botchel what to do to improve this team this offseason, what would you tell him?
Oh, he talked about depth. Depth at forward, and that's the key. The Sabres, a lot of people are asking questions about goaltending, and I even heard somebody said, what about bringing in a veteran goaltender? Well, they got a veteran goaltender in Carter Hutton. He's not going to be the number one guy, but he's going to be a veteran support to Linus Ullmark. I think Ullmark's played well this year and can continue to mature and to develop, and I think will be a pretty good solid option for a goaltender. So that's fine. Defense, we all know we have an overage of defense, and I think the defense is okay. I'm not saying we have the best defense in the National Hockey League, but it's okay, and if you make a couple of trades, you can still move a couple of defensemen and be in really, really good shape. It's at forward, and we all know first line, like fourth line, that was the only option the Sabres had this year. They really didn't have anything down in the middle part of the lineup. I think adding Dominic Cahoon and before the pause, playing him with Marcus Johansson and Victor Olofsson gave you a second option, but that's just not enough. You need a third option. You need to look at the way Pittsburgh won the Cup a few years back with Bonino, Kessel, and Carl Hagelin as a third line. And that is the type of mentality you got to have. So you got to build your depth at forward, and it's got to start with from the middle of the ice. And I don't know if Jason Botterill, he talked a lot about Casey Mittelstadt. I don't know if the Sabres think Mittelstadt is ready for that. But for me, we've been hearing about prospects and about young players for 2-3 years now. I feel like I can't wait to see if Mittelstadt is going to be ready. I want there to be a move or an acquisition to solidify that depth and not expect it to come from Dylan Cousins and Tage Thompson and Casey Mittelstadt. I just think this time has run out and we got to go in a different direction with that.
Yeah, I think actually that was part of the press conference that troubled me, Marty. I think there would be, I would hope the offseason plan isn't too much of a reliance / expectation that the group of Mittelstadt, Thompson, and Cousins would all be here and make enough contributions to make a big difference.
And if they do, then great.
Right.
Then it's a bonus. Then it's Derek Roy, Jason Pominville, and Thomas Vanek giving you like a major boost. And then you can, okay, you can start moving other pieces. You can, you know, let go of certain players that maybe are not factoring into your roster. But you can't expect with the surgery to Tage Thompson's shoulder, to the development of Casey Mittelstadt and the unknown that is Dylan Cousins, you can't expect that to be your depth right now. You can't expect that to be what's going to come in and make a difference between you and a team that's making the playoffs. So I think if it's there, great gravy, bonus, you know, it's going to put you from a 94, 95 point team to 100 and 105 point team. Perfect. But focus on being a 94, 95 point team by making the right moves, the right deals that are going to give you the tools that you talked about.
You mentioned goaltending. I did want to ask you about that. I was going to ask you about both guys, Ullmark and Hutton, but I want to start with Hutton first because it was pointed out, couldn't you do better than Hutton this offseason as a backup? Because it was pointed out accurately by Jason Botterill yesterday on the Zoom call, Marty, that in both years that he's been here, Hutton's second half of the season performance has not been as good as his first half of the season performance. And when they needed him to come through last season, he wasn't good enough when Ullmark was out. So would you look to upgrade there? And is it possible that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen or Jonas Johansson is that guy, or would you look outside for more of a veteran presence?
No, I don't think Jonas Johansson is that guy yet. I think he still needs some maturing in the American League. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, same thing. He missed part of the season last year because of the surgery. He played well in the East Coast League, played pretty well in the American League, but you know, season was shortened, so his development was shortened. So those two are not an option, and I wouldn't look for somebody else to fill in a backup role. I think Carter Hutton is a veteran. He's liked in the locker room. I think he can do that job well, and he's done it well in both Nashville and St. Louis. Now, when Carter Hutton was signed here in Buffalo, I got a phone conversation with somebody that had seen him play in both Nashville and St. Louis and said, Carter Hutton's a really good goalie, just can't be playing 3, 4, 5 games in a row. Mm-hmm. He just can't. And he can't play 50, 55, 60 games. It won't happen. And I took that as with a grain of salt. I said, well, every goalie needs an opportunity. But now that I've seen Carter from up close the last 2 years, and it's no criticism. I mean, I was a much better backup goalie than I was a starting goalie, and that's fine. I mean, it's okay. You're still a National Hockey League goalie. You're still extremely talented, and you still deserve to be there. But Carter Hutton doesn't perform well in second half of season when he's played too many games in the first half, mm-hmm. when his body got tired, where his technique got tired, you know, where he's lost his way. So for me, for him to be successful, it's, you know, have Linus be your starting goalie, Linus play, you know, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, whatever you want to say, and have Carter be more on a backup schedule which will eventually give Carter Hutton a better chance to be successful and your team a better chance to be successful as well.
Marty's with us on the Western Hotline. So, Marty, I want to make you a player right now on the Sabres. You now know your season is over. You don't know when your next season is going to begin. Could be as late as January. So you might not play for 8, maybe 9 months. What could that do as far as, you know, the players when they get back, that kind of a break, that length of a shutdown, so to speak, for them personally, what kind of challenges would that provide for a player to try and stay sharp? I know, they mentioned yesterday the idea of talking to the league about maybe some kind of a mini camp with the other six non-playoff teams, which I think is a really good idea, because that's a long time to be away from anything on the ice, right, as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it goes back to 2004, 2005, and not playing for a whole season. Some guys went to play in Europe, and there was a difference right there that was seen from the guys that got to play and the guys that didn't. The guys that got to play in the American League and then moved up in 05-06. So I do believe that those teams, the seven teams that are not part of the return to play, will have to get some internal meetings with the NHL, with the NHLPA, either have, you know, an actual mini camp or some virtual camps and make sure that guys are on the ice, that, you know, maybe if the season doesn't start until December or even January of next year, you can find a way for some of the players, you talk about the European players, to take in training camp in September with some European teams. I'm not saying they should play in October and November in Europe, but maybe just the fact that you can take in camp for 1 month will help you get ready for the National Hockey League season for your own training camp. So I think there's going to be some ways to be able to work that in because the next season, the 2020-2021 season, won't start in October. We know that. It just won't start in October. So you'll have plenty of time to find ways to get ready. But I would say, to the players right now, if you can get on the ice next week, get on the ice next week. If you can get on the ice in 2 weeks, the earlier you can get on the ice, get yourself more advanced in your development, in your strengthening, in your conditioning that you ever could, because you're going to have that pause and you're going to have that opportunity.
You doing okay these days, Marty? Hanging in there all right?
Well, you know what? I'm hanging in there, and the weather is killing me because it went from being 40 degrees to 90, but I absolutely love being outside, so this is great. The most challenging part of the last few days was trying to figure out the NHL lottery, the draft lottery, and how that's going to work. And I think I figured it out yesterday. So the phase one, phase two, I mean, it's great, but a team like the Montreal Canadiens, everybody's looking at Montreal saying, well, you know what, they're return to play, so they're lucky because they get to play. But they could also factor into the draft lottery, so they could win the number one pick. You know, this is kind of not fair. So a team like Montreal, which had a 6% odd to win the lottery, you know, prior to the return to play, now, if the season resumes, we'd only get a 3% chance of winning the lottery, the way it all works. So they're losing some percentage point to be able to return to play. So I think I felt better about it, knowing that at least Montreal is victimized a little bit in this new scenario. So I slept better last night.
Yeah, there's that old Nordique fan in you coming through again, yeah.
Yes. Now, if we can just get the Boston Bruins to be victimized a little bit, that'll be okay.
Amen. All right. As always, thanks for making our Thursday. We love talking hockey with you. We're glad to hear you're doing well, sir.
Okay. What are the movies with the twist?
Can't tell you.
I need to know.
Can't tell you. He won't even text me off the air, Marty. I can't. And I'll text you one.
What do we do? We say, how do you do it?
Well, you just text him and say, don't mention it. Maybe I've seen the movie. I'm just curious. It won't ruin, even if I didn't see the movie, I might not even want to watch the movie anyway.
It is a wildly popular movie.
All right, then I've probably seen it.
Everybody has probably seen
it. Well, then that's why you text me and let me know what it is.
Read the text line.
I'm going to text you what I think it is. How's that?
I specifically had this movie ruined for me.
Okay, I bet you I know what it is.
I bet everybody knows what it is.
I am going to text you right now what I think it is. Okay, there we go.
Okay, well, listen, what I'll do is I'll hang up and listen and see if you guys figure it out.
Yeah, of course that's it, Howard.
Okay, well, just
of
why
course.
Didn't you just tell me? Okay, very
because
good.
Because somebody maybe hasn't seen it.
I'm not going to bring it up on the air. It's a real. That's the one I got a tweet about. So, no comment. Thanks, Marty.
Well, keep me entertained on Twitter this morning, boys.
We will. Have a nice weekend.
Awesome. You too.
Thanks, Marty. Bye. Marty with us on our Western Hotline, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, and by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I got something for you.
I also did want to mention, too, someone did tweet that, you know, I did get the line wrong, and I think a lot of us get the line. He actually never did say, Luke, I am your father.
He just says, I am your father.
He says, no, I am your father. Because the line before that is something about, like, Obi told me you killed my father. The actual line is, no, I am your father. It's not, so even though I always think, Luke, I am your father, he never actually said that, okay? But so thank you for pointing that out, because... It is one of the more misquoted lines, even though... Okay, what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, over the course of yesterday, someone sent a tweet about Tim Murray.
Okay.
It was a Tim Murray press conference from April 12th, 2017. I just tweeted it. Brayton could probably pull it up. It's a very, very quick soundbite.
Hmm.
And it's kind of funny. I don't point it out to romanticize Murray's time as the GM. Yeah, here you go. This is from April 12th, 2017.
Tim, how much are you approaching the off season and next season as make or break in regards to making the playoffs next season?
Done.
Right.
It's John Scott asking the question. How are you approaching the off season about playoffs next season?
Yeah.
He was fired about a week later.
Oops.
You know, like, it's not to say that Murray was great, but it might be the last time the Sabres had a GM willing to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to say it might be. It is.
It is the last time, right.
We're going on year four with Jason Botterill, and he'll never talk like that. And I'm not saying like he has to be the, you know, the loose cannon firecracker that Murray was.
He was entertaining.
And I'm not even talking about entertaining. Mm-hmm. The most boring GM in the world can say that.
Right.
Next season. That's it. Next
yeah,
season.
And
the
I don't.
The most boring GM in the world can say that.
Yeah.
He could have said it 2 years ago. He could have said it at the start of this year. He could say it anytime he wants and give your fans an idea that there is a burning commitment to get there.
Yeah. I was looking at the notes from yesterday, Jeremy, because I'm trying to think, like, the actual question of will you make the playoffs next year was never phrased that way. The closest thing he would have had would have been something about when, you know, it's always about the future. When will it be about today? And his answer went off on, like, in the cap world, you got to have young players coming through the system. We've added guys with experience. We always want a pipeline of youth. He actually never did say.
Is this the answer where he said Wayne Simmons is a part of, like.
Yes. Simmons, Skinner, Johansson, he cites the veterans they've brought in. Talks about the pipeline of youth, but you always want to play, have experience and depth around them. So that would be the closest thing to. Hey, what about playoffs next year? When is it going to be about today, not the future? And his answer never included the words playoffs, as far as I recall.
I had a back and forth with a texter yesterday about Simmons, and apparently the
texter
thought Simmons would be coming back.
He's coming back.
yeah, I guess he might be coming back.
Uh-huh.
They traded, what, a fifth-round pick for Simmons? So he can be a bottom six role player for them, I guess.
He'll get a one-year cheap deal. It's not like he's going to break the cap.
Right, right.
But I, for sure, the way he talked about Simmons' leadership and veteran experience and playoff experience, I thought, he's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
So add him to the list of those UFA forwards. Yeah, you know what? Who knows? That's part of my problem. Yesterday, to me, sounded like a lot of their offseason is going to be expecting Thompson, Mittelstadt, and Cousins. Basically, three new guys to contribute next year. Like, those would be the new guys contributing, even though Mittelstadt was here for part of last season. I really do think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And they'll bring Larson back, and they'll bring Simmons back, and they'll bring Hutton back, and they're going to look at those three guys to be new additions to the roster. Can't tell you I'm really excited, but I think that's what's going
to happen. I'm excited for Dylan Cousins. I mean, he seems to be pretty good.
I hope they're not putting too much pressure on him.
Yeah.
Because it seems like this is where we went with Mittelstadt. Well, not exactly, because they knew Mittelstadt wasn't ready to be that number two guy, but then when Berglund up and said, "Yeah, I'm done," they were kind of in a tough spot. And, you know, they played Johansson out of position because they knew, you know, Mittelstadt is struggling. Okay, he's going to have to go to Rochester. I just hope this doesn't turn out to be. Like, I think they're, for me, it feels like there are a lot of pressure will be on Dylan Cousins. Unless they trade for a number two center, I'm assuming they wouldn't sign one in free agency, but whatever. Unless they bring in a veteran guy, I think a lot of us will go to camp thinking it's okay. Cousins is going to take that job and he's going to run with it. It's a lot to ask a young kid. And I worry about that, even though he's, you know, really talented and had a hell of a junior career. You want headlines or you want to? Yeah, okay. Jason Bottrell had a Zoom call with the media yesterday. We have a story, WGR550.com. You can also listen to the whole Zoom call. It's about 35 minutes. It's in our on-demand audio. Handful of players spoke yesterday. We have all of those interviews there. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart among the Sabres that will speak today. And we will have those in our on-demand section. There's a report that Lawrence Pilot might be going to the KHL. He is scheduled to be a restricted free agent come July 1st. The NHL has told playoff teams they will have a 28-man roster and an unlimited number of goalies for the postseason. The Red Wings have decided to bring coach Jeff Blashill back. The NFL owners will vote today on the onside kick alternative, the 4th and 15. However, the Sky Judge...
I hope that goes through.
I think it'll go
through. It better go through, right?
It'll go through, right? Yeah, I think it'll go through. I'm confident it will. Remember, it's the owners voting, right? Not the coaches. So I think it would go through. Sky Judge proposal withdrawn, although there are conflicting stories about this. It's possible the NFL owners could still approve a preseason experimentation with the Sky Judge, okay? But probably not for the regular season. Jadeveon Clowney reportedly turned down an offer from the Browns. NBA still talking about their return to play proposals. The GMs will have a call today. Board of Governors tomorrow. We'll talk more about that at 9 with Frank Isola from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Major League Baseball players expected to give a counter proposal to owners this week, calling for more games, about 100, and full prorated salaries. Rain washed out postponed the NASCAR Cup Series race in Charlotte last night. They will try it again at 7 o'clock tonight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.